treat you bad. Didn't know just what I had, but honey, now I
welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for staying with us on this Tuesday morning. Text line, you need to interact with the program. Just hit us up there, 251-343-0106. Bunch of texts to get to. We'll get to those later on in the show. Still to come about an hour from now. He's the chairman of the Alabama Republican Party. John Wall will join us for his weekly visit. So make sure you stay tuned for that. But joining us now on the line, he is the mayor of Orange Beach. First time we've had him on since the tumultuous election, but Tony Cannon joins us on the line. Mayor, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. Thanks for having me on, buddy. Appreciate it very much.
Always appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on. Well, I guess we're long past the whole election cycle, but are you recovering all right?
Oh, thank God we're past it. I think, like I told you, there's a little bit of cynicism now in my life about public service, having gone through what me and my family went through. And, if social media continues to go unchecked the way it is, nobody's going to want to run for public office. The number of people that came up to me and said I would never, ever run because of this, it scares me, because all you're going to end up with is the dregs and the losers running for office, you know.
Well, and now that that's passed, and I mean, you won very convincingly, but the way I'd say, I mean, these elections have consequences, and it seems like more, if anything, there's a mandate there, and people kind of like the status quo.
Well, and I do really appreciate the support. It meant a lot to my family and I. Like I said, having gone through the just the mean-spirited, it really split our community. It was just, I don't know how to describe it. I'm not trying to whine, but it disappoints me that social media is what it is. And what's sad is so many conservatives and front row Christians are right in the middle of it. And I'm just telling you, if it keeps on going in this direction, nobody that is going to run. But, it's a new day, and I think we got a qualified counsel, and man, we're gonna keep doing what we've been doing.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what I expect. I don't know why we should expect anything different, but let's kind of move on from that. I guess first up, it's November. This season flew by. I didn't get quite to spend as much time as we usually do down your way, but it seemed like it was a pretty decent year as far as the tourism season went.
It was. Our revenues were good. You know, we were 21 was our peak, but we were then a few percentage points of being there. The concern I have, like with any business, is expenses continue to go up. And you try your best to manage them, but to keep good people, you got to pay them. And, the revenue side is a little more unpredictable, more based on the geopolitical and who's in power situation. But, all we can do in our business is customer service, customer service, customer service. And I think if we do that, we can keep the revenues moving in line with our expenses, we hope. Just got to pay close attention.
Well, this is like a good economic indicator. I think people having, expendable income to take a vacation. And that's usually when families start looking at places they got to cut, it's the maybe it's that vacation expense. Now, maybe it's somewhat elastic with a place like Orange Beach, because you may not get a certain clientele, but there may be a clientele that instead of going to the French Riviera, they're going to go down to the Redneck Riviera, and, that sort of fills that void. But that's, to me, I guess you're kind of at the whim of the whole economy when you look at the big picture, what people want to spend on vacations.
And we are, and that's one reason I'm so fanatical about the family-friendly brand, because maintaining that brand, I really do think, separates us from everybody else. And that maintaining that brand, I think, buffers us from economic turnarounds, and it's just why I am the way I am about maintaining that family-friendly brand.
And you stuck to that, but that's, you know, that's worked for you guys. But it seems like it's kind of becoming a trend in general, that the family-friendly brand, and not necessarily like Panama City Beach of the 1990s or, you know, but something a little less MTV Spring Break and more of a family destination.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I'm speaking from a conservative's view, I can't deal with the other folks, but you know, you can't compromise or prostitute your brand. You've got to stick with it through thick and thin. And that's what we try to do. And I think it's paying off for us, because people want to be where they know they can have a good time, but at the same time, it's not going to be spring break. And hopefully that's going to keep us ahead of the crowd, no matter what the economy does.
Does it continue to be a situation like a lot of Baldwin County, especially where I'm sitting right now, but the growth and managing growth, and this is, you know, with growth comes all the growing pains, and in some ways it's good growth, and in some ways your current residents just kind of want to pump the brakes a little.
They do. And, you know, we're looking at it from we got a moratorium in place. But, you know, there's a fine line you walk between property rights and values and quality of life and those folks that live here. And you're trying to find that fair middle ground where you don't really, you know, you don't rob from one and take from one to give to the other. You're really trying to find out what's fair. But, you know, quality of life matters. And, you know, we started 17 years ago when I became mayor, managing growth from that point on. We have never upzoned a property to increase density. We've only allowed individuals to build based on what their property was zoned 30 years ago. So I feel like we've done a great job way ahead of the curve of managing our growth. But, you know, we're at the end of the line, and when the county grows, we're going to get a lot of that overflow. We're going to get a lot of that traffic. They're coming to the beach, and we have to deal with that. So I do think countywide and all municipalities need to reevaluate, you know, how they're going to, you know, the term smart growth doesn't mean anything. That's just a good term. You need to define what you mean by smart growth. And Baldwin County really needs to look at density. We need to look at how we're going to fund the main arteries, north, south, east, and west, so that traffic can be moved, because for visitors, the experience of being stuck in traffic like you would be in Destin and Panama City is no fun. You can't get around. And we're blessed in Orange Beach. We're the end of the line. We don't have no east-west, north-south artery through our town. It's mostly intrinsic traffic, folks that are there. So we're hopefully going to get that settled out with a new bridge and the bypass run. We're going to be in good shape there.
How do you balance that? And you know, you bring up a good point about property rights, and you know, that's something conservatives, I think, certainly pay a lot of reverence to, is, you know, it's my property. And but at some point, you know, you have to say no, or you say we can't do that. And then I guess it becomes a situation potentially where they would take you to court, and that's an added expense. But there's like, really talk about balancing, having that right component on each side of that.
Well, you know, let me start with, when I hear somebody screaming property rights, well, if you're in the county and you're unzoned, then you do what you want to do. But when you move into a municipality, your property rights are dictated by Alabama state law, our ordinances and subdivision regulations. And you know that. It's no different than moving into a condo docks, or a homeowners association. You have rules and regulations. You just can't do anything you want. And when you move into a municipality, you should know that. So what we're looking at is, will Alabama law allow us to reduce density in some of the zonings that we have, or would that be considered a taking from those that own that property? And we don't know. I think that's what we're trying to investigate. So if we've got a piece of property that allows 42 units per acre, and we want to reduce it to 25 units per acre, obviously the landowners aren't going to be happy. But at the same time, we cannot keep up the pace of 42 units per acre, because infrastructure, the cost of capital improvements is just going to outstretch the property tax that comes off of that. You know, the real money that we make is off of lodging and retail. So you need mixed use. But when you just start building 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 homes, even with property values as high as they are, you have to balance, is that actually a revenue source that pays for the capital improvements and need that you have? So, you know, there's growth on the beach, which is 8 to 10 weeks of inconvenience and aggravation, but returns a lot greater revenues. And then there's your residential growth, which not so much, but costs you a lot more from a capital perspective. Schools, sewer, drainage, runoff. I mean, the list goes on and on. So you're really trying to get a good balance between all that. But bottom line is Alabama state law dictates what you can and cannot do to a great degree.
Hey, tell me something, speaking of the growth and, you know, any hopes of wrestling the sales tax issue away from the rest of the county and getting, and you and your friends at Gulf Shores getting y'all share back?
Yeah.
I mean, are we just going to kind of keep that on the down low for now, you think?
Yeah, I really don't know. Somebody's got to want to come to the table and negotiate and find a compromise. I don't think either one of us, either side, is going to get everything they want. It is frustrating. Again, I think you've heard me say this from a conservative perspective. Fairness should be coming into play, not what you can bully your way or take away. And I'm very concerned that some of our representatives have strictly made decisions based on one side of the story and what gets them votes and gets them back in office. And that really bothers me, because they don't even, the conservative principles don't apply if it has something to do with their sacrifice or being reelected. And that really bothers me.
Well, I mean, like you said, it had to be done at the state legislature, and that's turned out to be a harder lift than I would have imagined.
Yeah. See, to me, on the, you know, when you've got legislators and an organization saying, hey, they can afford it, they can pay, that's not a conservative principle. That has nothing to do with what's right and what's wrong. And that really, really upsets me, because, you know, we should not be paying twice for our kids to go to school just because you can make us do that. I just, again, I'm looking at it from a principle perspective, and unfortunately most people don't.
Tangentially related, 2026 election cycle around the corner, and there's offices all up and down the ballot. But any takes, anything you're looking at as we get into January?
Yeah, I don't know what's coming up. I know the big thing that's on my mind and the folks that live here's mind is gambling, and you know, I don't think you're going to hell because you play the slot machines or play poker. I'm not looking at it from a moral perspective, but I do know casinos kill communities. And my concern is you can open up the gambling Pandora's box where the casino is going to end up. And there's no better place for a casino to sit than in Baldwin County or down on the coast, because 8 million people are coming through here visiting with discretionary money to spend. And that really, really concerns me. But, you know, I guess we'll see what the legislators or the voting public decide on. But they really do need to understand that if you open up the lottery, you can't do it separate from opening up the casino question. They go hand in hand. And my biggest concern is once you, again, you open that Pandora's box, casinos are going to start popping up everywhere. And I don't care what anybody says, prostitution, domestic violence, predators. I mean, the list goes on. It's well documented. It's research-based. They kill communities. And I spent a good bit of time in Biloxi, Gulfport, during the oil spill, and then talking to the matriarchs and patriarchs of those two cities. They all, to a man, to a woman, said they wish they had never opened a door to the casinos because it ruined their communities.
You don't think you're out of the woods on that? I mean, you know, you got assurances from a lot of the delegation here. Oh, it will never happen. But I, you know, I can't, you know, driving to Beach Express, you can't help but think when you see Oahu, that, you know, you could theoretically see a casino sitting there. Maybe it won't happen, but it still seems to be a prevailing fear for a lot of people in this county.
I agree. And that's political speak when they say it will never happen. If you want it to never happen, then just vote no. That solves the problem right there. You don't have to vote yes now and then vote no and then vote yes and do political gymnastics or try to explain your vote. That's just silly. Just vote no. And there's no casino threat at that point in time. But casinos are bad news. And that's just the way it is.
Yeah, I mean, there's this weird thing where, well, it's okay in someone else's backyard, just not ours. And I you know, that's sort of what bothers me whenever I hear, especially locally, you know, some good people, I believe. But they say, well, you know, it's okay in Greene County, but we're never going to have it in Baldwin County.
Yeah, and once you open that door, Katie, bar the door. You know, I don't care what they say. They can justify it any way they want. But if you don't want casinos to proliferate, then you vote no in the story. But, you know, the Indians carry a lot of weight. They spend a lot of money. Right, they finance a lot of campaigns. And, you know, I'll never support anybody that takes any money from any of the Indians. I just won't do it because their ultimate goal is proliferation of gambling and casinos. And it's just not them. It's the Atlantic City group. It's the Las Vegas group. It's wherever. Because once that door's open and they start rolling, you know, it's a done deal then.
Hey, quick last question. Bridge is coming along there over the Intercoastal Waterway. You know, I've seen some pictures. And are you feeling a little bit better about that, the way that's going to be traffic engineered?
Not really. I think it's going to be just going to be a mess. And I'm not going to say I told you so, but I think it's going to be a mess. And that's why I'm lobbying very hard. We're lobbying very hard for another bridge right next to the wharf. That's the most common sense way to do it. And hopefully get a new governor in. They're going to have somebody to help us make that happen, even if we have to help make that happen. But for Orange Beach and for Gulf Shores, that another span next to the wharf span gives us two lanes north, two lanes south, unobstructed all the way to County Road 8. And then inside of the city limits, we have two north, two south, two east, two west. We can move traffic very, very efficiently if we can get that done.
Mayor, we got to leave it there, but thanks for hopping on. Let's do it again real soon.
Anytime, buddy. All you got to do is holler.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
Tony Kidden, ladies and gentlemen, mayor of Orange Beach. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.